I'm going to just ask you to follow along in your Bibles or your pew Bibles, and I'm going to read from the Life Application Bible, okay? Jesus says, "Anyone refusing to walk through the gate into the sheepfold, who sneaks over the wall, must surely be a thief. For a shepherd comes through the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run from him, for they don't recognize his voice." Verse 27, "My sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, we're blessed that we live in a land where we're not going to be persecuted or arrested for teaching and sharing the gospel of Christ. It wasn't always that way in the first century, where even the religious leaders got after the first Christians. This is one of those cases where Peter and John have actually been arrested and are now standing before church officials. And in short, they're being questioned as to why they healed a man. And notice Peter's response, beginning with verse 5. "The next day, it happened that the council of all the Jewish leaders was in session in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's relatives. So the two disciples were brought in before them. 'By what power or by whose authority have you done this?'" I mean, just imagine. A doctor performs a life-saving surgery, and we go in demanding, "By what authority are you doing this?" Okay? This is kind of what's going on here. "Then Peter, but listen, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, 'Honorable leaders and elders of our nation, if you mean the good deed done to this disabled man and how he was healed, let me clearly state to you and to all the people of Israel that it was done in the name and power of Jesus from Nazareth, the Messiah, the man you crucified, but God raised back to life again. It is by his authority that this man stands here healed. For Jesus the Messiah is the one referred to in the Scriptures when they speak of a stone discarded by the builders, which became the capstone of the arch. There is salvation in no one else. Under all heaven, there is no other name for men to call upon to save them." Wow. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your eternal, timeless word. Father, we thank you that your holy word is still speaking today with the same power and authority as when you first thought it. So, Lord, I just humbly ask in Jesus' name that you would just hide me behind the cross and move me out of the way. Lord, so that your Holy Spirit can speak to us, that the voice that we hear this day speaking to our hearts and minds will be your still small voice, speaking to us a word of hope, a word of encouragement that we need for this hour. We commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Voices are all around us. Many different voices. Some people keep music or a talk show on just for background noise. Perhaps even now as you're listening here, perhaps your mind is thinking about something else. Maybe you're thinking about, is he going to go as long as he did last week? Okay, he wore water shoes last week, real shoes this week. What's he wearing next week? You know, all these different voices that are rivaling for our attention.
Let me rhetorically ask us this morning, which voices are you listening to? Are you listening to your own voice and calling it the voice of God? Or are you really listening and tuned in to God? I'm sure Thurman remembers transistor radios. Nah. Jim Kyer was easier to play with at 8:30. I want you to know that. Well, transistor radios were cool because, unlike digital today, for many of our young people, you couldn't just tune in to like 101.5 or 98.1. You had to take this little dial and guess where it was. And sometimes, especially if it was like a South Jersey summer day where there was a lot of heat and humidity or thunderstorms, you'd constantly going. And there were times where you would hear that and you would either turn it down so that you really didn't have to hear all of that static, or you just turned it off. May I humbly say that it's this pastor's opinion that that's happening in churches all across the country. We're hearing nothing but noise from our pulpits. We would much rather listen to the voices of the self-appointed experts in the world than to let the words of God be our final arbiter. It's kind of what I had spoken about last week in part, where wouldn't it be great in church meetings, whether it's local church, whether it's parachurch, whether it's conference, district levels, no matter what it is, wouldn't it be great if we prayed up front, asking for God not to bless what we want, but for God to change our hearts, thoughts, and minds to do what He wants. And then the closing prayer would be for God to ratify what the Spirit has led us to determine. Amen? That's about 26%. You remember my 100% rule from last week. For those of you that weren't here, I don't stop preaching until I get 100%. Amen. So that ought to really expedite things, Judy, just a little bit. Okay. Voices, we hear them. And sometimes we hear a voice, but we put it through the wrong funnel, and we end up misinterpreting the voice. Kind of like the radio that you can make out just about every other word. It's very, very difficult. Let me give you an example. There was a young woman just recently married, and she wanted to prepare a meal for her husband's boss, and the boss's wife that were going to come over for supper that night. And so she, first time out of the chute, wanted to cook a turkey. So she buys a 19-pound turkey. You can eat well off a 19-pound turkey, okay? And so she calls the editor of the local newspaper. Makes sense. So she calls, and she says, "Hi." She says, I've never really cooked a big dinner before, and I want everything to be just perfect. I bought a 19-pound turkey. Can you tell me how long it will take to cook in my new microwave?" The food editor said, "Just a minute." And with that, she says, "Oh, gee, thank you so very much. Goodbye." I'm not going to that house for supper. I want you to know that. I'm a vegetarian. I'm sorry. I can't. We sometimes hear the wrong message because we're in a hurry, we're in a rush, we're in a haste, and we're not totally tuned in to the voice. There are plenty of people who carry the same principle around in their spiritual lives. They hear the words. The words may even make sense, but they miss the point completely. Kind of like my first church. As I told you last week, Dr. Dunk, when he was my very first superintendent, he gave me my first church when I was still a junior in college. I guess I really needed the practice. And I'll never forget one dear saint who was there. This one Sunday walks in and was just like, oh boy, I wonder what happened in her life. So I just started chatting with her, and her response to me was, I don't care what you say today, I'm not letting anything you say affect me. My response to that was, good, because I want you to hear God's voice, not me. I can't get you from here to Heritages, but Jesus Christ can get you from here to abundant life here and to eternity in heaven. Only He can do that. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. You know, sometimes the idea of shepherds and sheep might be very difficult for our 21st century postmodern, post-Christian mindset. We really can't understand the incredible relationship. But as you go through Scripture, whether it be Psalm 100, Isaiah 56, Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 25, Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 11, you all see where God presents Himself to His people as a great shepherd. Because there's a very intimate relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. One of the cool things is the shepherd has a name for every one of his sheep. You know what's cool? God knows your name. God knows my name. And in fact, the Bible tells us that God has our name encrypted, or if you want to be literal, tattooed in the palm of His hand. You and I cannot do what Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you, where God says, who are you? Lord? Yeah, Jim. Or whatever your name is. God wants that intimate of a relationship with us. And so, He has our name on His hand. He knows us. You know, remember when Jesus was being tempted by Satan? And I like how Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus, in one of His responses, said, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every that... Yes. Yes. Didn't it sound like it was coming from back there? Is Larry back there? And every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now stay here. Now watch this, because this is so important, and I really want to help you get this. That word proceeds is the King James, as they interpret it, in the original Greek, is ekporemeo. And that word, listen, that word means it's a continuing function. Every word that proceeds, the Greek understood it, it's a continuing action. In other words, God has spoken, God is speaking, God will continue to speak. For those that say God doesn't talk anymore, that's being biblically illiterate. God is constantly speaking to us. Are we tuned in? Are we tuned in? The worst thing a pastor can hear are these words. Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but I think. Anytime you put the "but I think," you have just totally disavowed everything you said before that. It doesn't matter. You see, that's where the rubber hits the road. If you really want to be a disciple for Christ, you absolutely, all of us, pastors, bishops, it doesn't matter, have to yield ourselves to God and His Word. Ooh, 34%. I gotta liven it up here a little bit. God is speaking. We live in a day where there are so many voices screaming for our attention. And sometimes it's hard to sort it all out. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed. And sometimes we just don't know where to go. And sometimes we actually have to practice our faith. Even though we might say, Pastor, it feels like my prayers are just bouncing off the walls, yet the promises of God say, I'm right there with you and I need you to trust me and not your feelings. Amen?
Amen.
Just because you yell at me doesn't mean I'm going to stop sooner. I mean, that's what it's about. 1969, Harry Nilsson. You remember the song? Sure you do. Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only echoes of my mind. Come on, sing it with me. You know it. People stop and staring. I can't see their faces. Only the shadow of their eyes. I'll stop there. Enough of that. That's my pop song for the week. You know, I think wherever I go, wherever you go, don't you see a lot of people with just blank looks on their faces? I've done, in my ministry, many, many funeral services for people who really have very little or no faith. And to see the blindness, the hopelessness, is overwhelming. We have people out here that are trusting in everything except the God of the Bible. But you and I, who claim to have the risen Christ in our hearts and dwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have the answer. We have the key that unlocks the door. We can change despair into hope, anguish into joy, uncertainty into confidence. Everybody's talking at me. You pass people every day at work, perhaps school, on the beach, wherever it is, and they're looking for a word of hope. They're looking to know that there's a God that loves them and isn't just going to throw lightning down from heaven to zap them every time we step out of line, but a God that loves us very much. Second century, Clement of Alexandria wrote, "We need a Savior. In our wanderings, we need a guide. In our blindness, we need someone to show us the light. In our thirst, we need a fountain of living water that quenches forever the thirst of those who drink from it. We sheep need a shepherd. We children need a teacher. The whole world needs Jesus Christ." Let me rhetorically ask what I asked at 9:30. If Clement of Alexandria, one of the great church fathers, once one generation removed from Paul, can say the world needs Jesus Christ, how much more does the world need Jesus Christ in the 21st century? Amen? Then why are we, many of us, and I'm saying capital C, when I use capital C, that means Christian church, why do we keep it a secret? Why do we want to keep it a secret? Remember the great song? This little light of mine. What? Okay, second verse says, hide it under a bushel. You are. Even a couple days after your birthday, you're still going to let it shine no matter what. That's right. Hide it under a bushel now. When Peter stood before the religious leaders, did he apologize? No. He spoke. Why is it that we Christians continue to shrink? Because we're afraid that somebody's going to get upset if we declare the name of Jesus Christ. The Pittman UMC has a great, great history of being a leader and unapologetic that Jesus Christ is the way. That Jesus Christ is the answer. A couple things I just want you to get. I'm going to go through this real quick. I'll have you out of here by 3, okay? So just stay tuned. They think I'm kidding. You heard the first one. They think I'm kidding. The first thing I want you to get is this. God wants to talk to you. Now, I don't know what that does for anyone else, but man, that just blows me away. That the very God who said, let it be, and it was, The very God who died and rose again, the very God who gives me my every breath, wants to talk with me. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. The God that said, I am with you always. The God who said, I will make all things new. The very God that says, I'm working to bring all things together for good to those who love me and are called to my purposes. That very God wants to talk to you and talk to me and talk to so many who aren't in worship this day. Recall Genesis chapter 3. Perfect garden. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. Adam and Eve sinned, and what did they do? They hung up the phone, so to speak. They hung up. And they went and they did what? The Bible says they hid themselves from God. And if we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, who is it? It's God who's coming and saying, hey, Adam, Eve, where are you? He knew where they were, but it was Him reaching out. It was God taking the initial step. It was God that, when we cross that line of trespasses and sin, it is God, through His prevenient grace, who steps out and reaches out to us. I remember, as I told you, being saved at that lay witness mission when I was 14 years old, back sometime in the early 90s. And what? Oh, that got 100%, didn't it? I mean, what was really cool was, for months before that, I kept feeling this gnawing inside of me. This gnawing, which I later understood was God's prevenient grace and His Holy Spirit preparing me. And then on that particular day that God had predetermined, you couldn't keep me in a seat. It's like I was levitating right down to the altar and gave my heart to Christ. You see, that's the God that is continually reaching out for us, continually active, continually calling us forward, not backwards, continually calling us forward in our lives. A man from Pittman, I'm sure no stranger to all of you, C. Austin Miles, wrote a beautiful hymn. And I love the second verse. I love the refrain, where he says, and He walks with me, and He... And what does He say? Now stop there and just say that to yourselves. Jesus tells me I am His own. And the what we share? The joy we share as we tarry there. None others ever know. More beautiful words have never been written for a hymn. They're just so powerful, so steeped in Scripture, so beautiful. St. Augustine of Hippo said, there is a voice of the shepherd. We are to recognize it and follow if we're going to be one of His sheep. Have you ever had a... I really got taught a great deal when Rebecca and Lindsay were just infants, very... Well, maybe not that small, but when they were little. And because there could be all kinds of noise going on, but if one of them cried, Judy would say, I hear the baby. Mom, you hear me on that? You can recognize your child's voice through all the clutter and through all the... If we as humans can do that with our children, how much more can our perfect God and Shepherd do that? Can we actually hear His voice through the clutter of the world? Yes, we can. Why was Judy able to hear the kids' voices? Because she was tuned in. We need to be tuned in to what the Savior is saying. If we believe this is just a story on the equivalent of Shakespeare or something any other author would write, fine, you will not hear the voice of God. If we don't believe that the Holy Spirit indwells us, like the Word of God says, then we will not hear the voice of God. We have to be focused. We've got to be tuned in, so to speak. Interesting. There was any dog trainers here? Oh, they all came to the first service. Okay. I understand that when you take your dog to be trained by a dog trainer, that the first thing the trainer wants to do is sit down with the owner first and get to know the owner and then hear the behavioral habits and techniques of the four-legged friend they're bringing in. Well, on this one particular day, there was the studious dog owner who was just writing down feverishly every word that the trainer had said. After the time was over, the trainer said, "Okay, now don't forget next week, bring the collar and the leash with you next week." Okay, got it. I got it. I got this. Next week comes, the room is filled with dogs. And there's our dear friend holding her collar and leash, but no dog. She heard, but she really wasn't tuned in. She thought she knew what the answer was, but she missed it, and she was embarrassed. Hence Jesus says, "Whoever's embarrassed of me on earth, I will be embarrassed of them before my Father in heaven." Interesting. The second thing, God wants to speak to you. Second, God is continuing to speak in many ways, as I had shared from that Greek word for proceeds. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and had dialogue together. When we pray, do we stop to listen? Or do we just have a laundry list of, "Okay, God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that," like we're telling a waiter our order? Or do we actually have built-in time to listen to what He's saying to us? Even after they sinned, God pursued them. Think of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 and following. Think of Noah, who God said, "Noah,
yes,
build an ark." "What's an ark?" "It's a big boat." "What's a boat?" "You're going to need it for the flood." "What's a flood?" "It's going to pour rain." "What's rain?" Now you might sit there and say, "What's he talking about?" Well, hey, I'm trying to channel my Bill Cosby from his story of Noah. Yeah, I see some of you shaking your head. Don't kid me. And we're talking about an area that gets less than 1 inch of rain a year, and most of that is just dew overnight. But God is so cool because He gives Noah the blueprint and the exact design. But friends, listen, Noah would not have had those plans if he wasn't tuned in to God and expecting to hear from God. Amen? Oh, man, we went back to 15%. Okay. Remember Abraham?
Abraham.
You get the idea. I have this one particular voice for God, okay? I'm sorry. Abraham's like, "Yeah, Abe, I want you to take everything you have and I want you to go." "Go where?" "Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when to stop." The bishop at least tells us where we're going. He didn't tell Abe. But Abraham faithfully listened to the voice of the Lord, and you and I are benefactors because Abraham was obedient. Amen? Nah, they're catching up now. All right, good. They know I'm winding down anyway. He expected to hear the voice of God, and he heard it. He heard it. He heard the voice of God speaking. And you know what? Abraham probably, "You got to be kidding me. I'm going into an area I don't know."
You're taking me out of my comfort zone. I don't really know the final cost of this. I don't understand all of this. But you know what, God? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. It's a scary place. It's a scary place. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Can you believe that? God speaks. Don't limit God to what He can speak through. God even speaks through bald guys. I mean, it's just amazing the avenues that God uses to speak to us. God also speaks through the Bible. Now, I'm going to unpack that more next week when we look at Josiah in the Old Testament. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Now, catch this. It says, everything in Scripture is God's Word. Theonumos, it means God breathed the words. They didn't start in the minds of humans. They were transmitted from the mind and the breath of God through the Holy Spirit through the human instruments. And all of it is useful for teaching and helping people and correcting them and showing them how to live their lives. The Scripture trains God's servants to do all kinds of good deeds. It's just not a book of instructions. It's a guideline. It's God's blueprint for abundant living here in the world. Of the Bible, John Wesley wrote, God Himself has taught the way. This is the very reason He came down from heaven. He has written it all down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God, for here is knowledge enough for me. Do you believe this is the Word of God? And it should guide everything that we do in our lives. It should guide us in our daily life, our professional life, our personal life, our ministry together. A couple of years ago, I was out with a friend who I thought I had known quite well. And all of a sudden, he just dropped this bombshell on me that he was divorcing his wife, but he wanted to get a sign from God that he was to do this. Okay, so I'm riding along with him. And he's telling me how he's been praying and just looking for the Word from God to be able to march forward. And so we rode past, and sitting on a fence were two crows. And he says to me, you know what, Jim? I know what the sign is. When we drive back, if those two crows are not sitting there, I will take that as a sign from God that I am to divorce my wife. I was totally speechless. You know what we call that? We call that eisegesis. You see, any pastor worth their salt, and I know you're recording this, and I'll say it again, any pastor worth their salt will not do eisegesis, but will do exegesis. Eisegesis is me coming with an idea. And let me find out how I can support what I think is right. Exegesis is the hard work. Going here and drawing out the truth and changing my mind and my attitude if I have to because God says so. My friend, or I should say, I haven't talked to him in a number of years now, unfortunately, not at my urging. My friend was doing eisegesis. We need to do exegesis, listening to the voice of God. Hebrews tells us it's alive and active. You know, Jesus also tells us that God will speak to us through our experiences. That is why John Wesley put such a big deal on the quadrilateral about Scripture, which is primary. The tradition of the church, reason, but experience. Because that's what I'm so excited about, hearing your stories. How has God worked in your life? Because you have a story to tell. You see, your story and the way God has spoken to you through your experiences will touch people that I never can. And that's a beautiful thing.
I always tell people, share your testimony. I'm scared to. Don't. Nobody can say you're wrong. Right? You experienced it. Who can say you're wrong? So why should we be afraid to share? You know, some experiences in life are good. Some make us uncomfortable. Some are very fearful. But I love the story of Joseph. Because in the Old Testament, from Genesis 37 on to chapter 50, we get the story of Joseph and how life kept squashing him, stomping on him like a bug. And we finally get the climax in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where he, through the eyes of faith, he said, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good." Because Joseph kept listening to the voice of God. Remember Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego? Or as one confirmant told me many years ago, Meshach, Shadrach, and to bed we go. No. Anyway, they were supposed to bow down and worship the Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, "Look, O king, whether or not it's right for us to bow down to you or not, you decide. But we will listen to the voice of our God. And we know that our God, in whatever way He wants to, will deliver us from your hands." You know the rest of the story. What happened? Tied them up, threw them in the fiery furnace, and guess what? There was a fourth guy in there, and they were doing a jig in there and having a grand old time. And they were praising God together, and they walked out of that fire, and there wasn't even a singe on them. There wasn't even the smell of fire. In fact, the only thing that was burnt were the very things that bound them from succeeding and excelling in God. So God uses things in our life and our experiences. And if we're willing to listen to Him, He will guide us through. One more story. I told you, pastors have 10 stories that we share. Here's number 2. There was a man that was caught in a flood. I've been on many rescues with flood situations, and they're very scary, very tenuous. And the man went all the way up to the roof of his house, but the water kept rising. And he's going, "Lord, Lord, save me, save me. I know, Lord, I'm trusting you. You're going to save me, oh God. You're going to save me." Here comes a boat from the rescue squad. They're there. They've arrived. They throw a line on him. "Here, hold on. We'll take you to safety." Throws the line back. "No, no, God is going to save me." Okay. They go, all of a sudden you hear, here's a helicopter overhead. And they throw the line down. "Hold on to the line! I'm good, I'm good. Now, we're going to save you. It's going to be okay." I don't know where the canyon echo's coming from, but it's just there. And so the man says, "No, I don't need it. God is going to save me." Okay. They fly away. As you know, the man drowns. He drowns. He gets to heaven. He's overjoyed when he first sees Jesus, and he's like, "Oh, yes! Oh, wonderful, wonderful! But wait a minute. Jesus, I was praying to you. I was praying to you. You told me if I prayed, you would answer my prayer. And I prayed for you to rescue me." And Jesus says, "I did answer you. You weren't listening. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter." Scratch that from the tape. That's one of the stories we're just never going to use again. That's just out of here. The Holy Spirit says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, those of you that gave me the charity laugh, thank you very much. If you hear God's voice today, don't be stubborn. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dine with that person." You see, whatever it is you're facing in life, God has a word for you. God has a word for you. He does walk with us. He does talk with us. It doesn't matter if we're at work, school, play, on vacation, in church meetings and worship experiences, in hospitals, doctor's offices, funeral homes. We simply need to listen to His still, small voice. We must never grow weary. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for your holy word. Lord God, we just praise you and thank you that you love us so much, that you continue to speak to us. Father, as we continue to want to foster our relationship and deepen our relationship with you, may we be open to your voice. May our ears be attuned to your voice. Father, drown out the voices which have preconditioned us, voices, Lord, of the world which doesn't know you, so that we may be in tune with the voice of Jesus Christ, that indeed He may be our guide. And so, Lord, just speak to us a word, and may we daily seek to hear your voice. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.